Hello, and welcome to the monthly comic spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mann. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics, one from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. In this episode, I am joined by James, and we're going to be discussing some of the comics we got in August 2021. James, how are you doing tonight?
I'm actually doing pretty good, considering it's after the Memorial Day Labor Day holiday.
Labor Day, yeah.
How are you doing, John?
I enjoyed having a long weekend as well. I needed to catch up on some reading and stuff. I'd gotten a little behind this month, so having the extra time certainly helped.
Yeah, definitely. So did you do anything fun, or... Just relaxed.
Mainly just relaxed. I was in need of that.
Yeah, me too. We went out with my mom and dad, just spent some time with them for a little bit, saw my brother and sister-in-law, and then literally just laid around and did a lot of nothing, you know, a few tasks around the house, but it was needed.
That's what long weekends are for, doing a few things and then a lot of nothing.
Yeah, watching some football for me.
So I wound up getting... I think 71 comics this time for a total cover price of like $309.29. And I'm thankful I'm not paying full cover price for these.
Yeah, thank goodness. I received more than you, 91. It usually comes down to the indies. I get more of those than you do. But still, it was kind of interesting because that one week of Comic-Con, I think was in August, where we just got a slew of comics. It was insane.
That was actually July was when
Comic-Con. July! Okay, that's what happened. It just clogged me up on the reading all the way over into August.
Yeah. Well, and part of it for me is FedEx has not been shipping as quickly as they usually do. So I had the last shipment of August come like 2 days before the first shipment of September.
Yeah, that was pretty much the same thing for me, which was weird. I got my last shipment of August. It took forever to get here. And then... Like a few days later, I got my September shipment, which, thank goodness, September was really small.
Yeah. I haven't even started that one yet.
Yeah, I had a little stack, I think like 12 or 14 comics, something like that.
I figured I'd wait till we were done recording this, and I'm done with the next back issue spotlight before getting into those. Only so much story I can contain in my brain at any one time.
It's true. I read some of them, so I flushed everything out.
What I found really kind of funny is I was doing the stats for this episode.
Okay.
I got 21 comics for the other publishers for $89.97. No big deal there. But for both DC and Marvel, I got 25 comics for a cover price of $109.75.
That's expensive.
For both. I mean, the same number of comics, same price and stuff. It was weird how that worked out.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
But that's weird. Exactly the same thing. That's weird.
So either I did the math wrong, which is entirely possible, or it actually happened, which is also possible.
They're colluding with each other. Something's
exactly.
Happening.
Exactly. That's it. If only I got the equal enjoyment out of them.
And I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh, there's so much. There's one or two topics we could probably do an entire episode on alone.
Yeah, I could think so.
So, how did DC work out for you in August?
It was weird because I think I like about a third of what I'm reading from DC. When I put it into, you know, I color code things. Mm-hmm. A third of the stuff is green. A third of it's like mediocre, and a third of it I'm not liking.
I kind of color code my list too. I leave uncolored the it's okay, it's not bad, it's not good, it's just there. And then I color the this was not good. And then I also color the, this was actually really good, but this time I actually had to do a separate color for one that I thought was just head and shoulders above the rest.
Ah, and I think I know which one that is.
If you don't say Nightwing, I'm going to be very disappointed in you.
It got an A+, Nightwing, yes.
Yeah, that one, just an amazing issue, some great character moments, some nice action scenes. It feels like a mile marker moment for Nightwing, and it's really a shame that this title is getting sucked into the Fear State stuff next issue.
I agree. I mean, it's amazing because month in and month out, this is the best book coming out of DC. And it's not, it's the writing is top notch, but also the art and the covers are fantastic on this thing. It's the entire package. Everything you want in a comic, Nightwing has it.
Absolutely. I love the cover on this one, too.
Me too. They've all been great.
I mean, it's admittedly ridiculous if you take it literally, of Nightwing kind of swinging into the back of a stage or an auditorium or whatever, changing out of his costume into, you know, his civilian attire to then immediately give a speech or a public address kind of a thing.
Very, very true.
It would never happen that way, but it's an amazing cover.
Yeah, it works out well. But I'll tell you what, this issue really got to me because I felt like, you know, Dick makes Alfred proud with mm-hmm. what happened. And, you know, and I don't want to make this like any kind of commentary on anything, but a billionaire that you always say, the billionaire with the heart. This is seeing the billionaire with the heart, which I really appreciate. It was kind of cool. How many people would really do that? Probably not very many.
No, but it fit the character.
It really did, because everything you've told me about, you know, Dick, even though I haven't read him for years and years, I did read The Death of the Family, and I've read some stuff. But, I mean, it's just really – he's a good person, and I like the character more reading this book. I'm just so happy I read it every month.
Yeah, I'm really glad they've got Tom Taylor on this book. He's just doing a great job with it.
Cool. And we'll be talking about another Tom Taylor book probably next month because in your next shipment, he has the Dark Ages over at Marvel.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, I'm curious about that one. I actually think have that first issue sitting here. I just haven't read it yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So, like I said, Nightwing, top of the pile for me by a wide margin.
Yeah, me too. Two of the other ones, there's a few that I really liked. One that I know you're not reading, so I'll just get it out of the way. Nice House on the Lake is still very solid, very mm-hmm. good. I think it's going to stay over there at DC. I have no idea with the exclusive stuff and going to Substack. Who knows? I don't know how long it'll be there, but it's been a great read. The other two that I really liked was Action Comics and Robin, and I don't know if you really liked them, but I really did.
Robin, I thought was... I mean, I liked seeing all of the Robins together and stuff. I thought that was a lot of fun. It felt a little odd, given what else is going on in the title. They seem to, you know, had to get Robin back to Gotham for a little bit to kind of make that happen or whatever.
Yeah.
But it had some good character moments, which is good, because the next issue might be nothing but fights. But, you know, if they do that well, that's okay, too.
Definitely. And if, once again, Nightwing was kind of like the passing on of the baton moment, you know? Even though, technically, Damian's Robin, you know, you had that moment, which was really touching. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really cool. And then, Action, did you like that? Because there was two, Action and Superman Son of Kal-El, which were both pretty good for me. And I don't know which one you liked out of the two Superman
Action
books.
The story's moving too slowly. It was very middle chaptery, and I'm liking what's going on. I just don't think I'm getting big enough installments per issue to really be satisfied.
I know what you're saying about that, because I think this is probably going to be a really good read when it comes out in a trade, when they cut out all that Midnighter stuff at the end. But yeah, there is a little bit of a slow progression to the story, but I'm so fascinated by the lore that we're getting. And are they called Warhoons? I don't know. War, whatever. The War World people. I'm just sucked into that whole thing. I love it. And so I think it's really cool. And we got to see the Atlantis and the humans things and what's going to come out of that. Who knows?
If this were like biweekly and it was moving faster because of that, I'd probably be happier. But of course, at $4.99, I probably wouldn't be happier. It's just they've been teasing some of the stuff for a little too long. And it's just... I'm not getting the payoff yet.
Too slow. I can understand. And the $4.99 is killing me because neither one of us want Midnighter.
Yeah.
And we're stuck with it. What did you think of Superman Son of Kal-El?
I started reading that, and when I hit the whole Finn Connors stuff, I'm like, really? That's not going to last. And sure enough, it didn't. I mean, like all the six pages.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. Other part that confused me is this came out the same week, I think, as Superman and the Authority. And
okay.
In there, Superman's got the gray temples like he's, you know, the Earth-2 Superman, or, you know, at least old. Here, in Son of Kal-El, he's not looking as old here. So I'm confused.
Very different. Yeah, I don't know how to take that. I'm not reading the other Superman title, the Authority one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that working for you?
It's all right. I'm not going to say it's great or whatever. I mean, we're at the second issue, and they're just now starting to gather the team and don't even have all of it necessarily put together. And they needed, like, four art teams to do that issue. So some of the art, like the Michael Janin stuff, I really liked. Some of it, not so much.
That makes sense. The one scene that I think what made me like Superman Son of Kal-El is, once again, almost like with Robin, they had that passing of the torch scene where Clark's kind of talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize we are going to have a very different Superman. You know, just their viewpoints and the experience and everything. There shouldn't be a passing of the torch because Superman's not, you know, gone, but I guess he's going to be gone. But that was a very touching scene. So I really liked that.
Yeah, and it had some good stuff like that. And it's not bad. It's just not Superman.
It's definitely not Superman, yeah.
So that's... I feel like they're forcing a number of things over at DC right now. And it's not that they're necessarily even bad changes or whatever, but it feels so inorganic the way they're doing some of these things. Like, all of a sudden, John's going to be Superman. It just... It feels a little out of the blue.
Yeah.
So it's I'm having some issues with that.
I still don't know why they're getting rid of Clark. I they don't have to do that, but they're going down that path. It's just kind of weird. I guess they don't want to have two Supermen, but I don't know. Just put
They've got like John... eight Robins going around right now.
That's true. I was like, just stick John in the future with the Legion, but I don't know.
Yeah.
What am I thinking?
Yeah, so, they could do better on some of these.
Now, what else did you like?
I enjoyed, let's see, what else? Infinity Frontier number 4?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Interesting kind of cliffhanger. Where they're going with that could be fun. Few characters I hadn't seen in a while.
That one worked better for me than the last one. I liked this issue. It was good.
Yeah. I still am not entirely sure where they're going exactly with all this stuff, but it's at least interesting, and I'm enjoying that aspect of it.
Yeah, it seems like it's a crisis in the making. It has to be, just with what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one was Icon and Rocket Season 1, Number 2. And it feels like some of the backstory for Icon's a little bit different than before. Not, like, radically so. But, I mean, I haven't reread the original Icon and Rocket since it was first published, so I could be wrong on that. It's still a really good read and enjoyable and doing some cool stuff.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, I already gave you the... did you like Flash? This issue of Flash?
It was neither good nor bad. It was just kind of there. It just wasn't overly impressive.
Yeah, that's the way I felt about it, too. It was okay. They tried to have that touching moment, you know, where Wally was kind of helping save the villain in there. And
that was the wrong villain to do that with.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the villain to know if that... why was that the wrong villain? Because that was lost on me.
Flash has a pretty good rogues gallery. Matter of fact, probably one of the more organized and definitive ones out of comics.
Okay.
And going with Heatwave, it's hard for me, having seen a version of that character on DC's Legends of Tomorrow TV show for 6-7 seasons now, to not see that version of the character.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Doesn't seem like the same person.
Not the one you're going to have a nice touching moment with.
Exactly.
And not one that Wally has really ever had that kind of strong a connection to. He's probably out of the rogues gallery, I don't say the most cookie cutterish, but the least developed in some respects.
So just kind of weird that they picked him.
Yeah, if you'd done Captain Cold, if you'd done a few of the others, maybe.
But just a weird choice. All right.
And not a wrong choice, but not one I would have gone with.
All right, that makes sense.
I didn't feel the moment is what it came down to.
So now, was there anything else you liked from your DC?
There was, but then it was followed by an issue where it's like, wow, what the hell happened?
Oh, what was that?
Wonder Woman.
All right. Which one did you like and which one did you not like? Because I didn't like either one of them.
I liked 777, which was where we saw Earth 11, the gender swapped stuff.
Yeah, I was reading it just going, what am I reading? Because I didn't know gender swap land was like a thing. So
oh,
that
yeah.
was.
I thought it was fun. It was odd. Deadman was able to kind of follow Wonder Woman from Earth to Earth. And that he was visible on that Earth, whereas normally he's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the first time we've seen a quote-unquote Wonder Man DC. I remember, and I've even sent you the cover of it, to an issue of Superman that had a Captain Wonder on another gender-reversed Earth back pre-crisis. And I just thought this issue was so much better than the last two, but also that this story just seems to never end.
Never end.
and then the backup I just skipped.
Me too. I don't even read it anymore. I literally skip it. Now, 778, it brought me to the point in my reading life where I'm like, I need to just drop this book. This is horrible.
This, I think, had a couple of problems. One, when the cover said Lost in the Multiverse, particularly after an issue where we just spent time on Earth 11, which is probably the most time we've spent on that Earth for quite some time, I was thinking we'd get other Earths. Instead, we got just kind of random scenes, you know, in the gem world, in the fifth dimension, and these are ultimate dimensions, not like parallel worlds of the multiverse. And at best, it was an okay issue, but it felt like it was just treading water and playing for time.
That's what I feel like I'm wasting my time reading when I was reading that book. I was just like, what are we reading here? Nothing's really happening. And with that backup story that I'm just skipping, I'm like, why am I getting this book? That's how it left me feeling. Now, I'm not canceling it because they said something's going to change in the solicits, but I don't know. I don't know if it's going to really change or not.
Well, this is part, what, 8 and 9 of the story that they've been going on since Infinite Frontier Zero?
Yep.
So this, it doesn't just feel like it's going on forever. It is going on forever.
Yeah.
You compare this to a 9-issue run back around the time of you know, Crisis on Infinite Earths, or, you know, a little before, a little after, whatever. A lot would happen in 9 issues.
Yeah.
And it feels like what little has happened ultimately isn't going to matter.
Yeah, exactly.
So disappointed.
I was too. So I'm just like, there's a lot of books that were just kind of so-so for me, or I wasn't liking. Detective's not doing anything for me. I just really don't like the writer on it. Nothing against her, but I've read some stuff by her that's good, Riko Tamaki, but on Detective, it just hasn't been good for me.
There is one good thing I can say about the second of the 2 issues.
Yeah, that one I liked a little bit more.
It finally concluded the storyline that had been going on for too long?
You get almost a Predator-like Batman there. I was like, what is this?
So,
but yeah, it concluded it. I'm like, it was weird.
Oh, and then the backup, which was nothing but a sales pitch for Task Force Z?
That was horrible.
Oh.
You paid $1 for a pitch on a book. Not good.
Not impressed. Good.
No, and then there was another one. Oh, Batman came out, Batman 111. I only got one Batman. Did you just get one Batman?
Yeah.
I thought that was a twice a month book, but I just got one. But that one was just kind of so-so for me too. It was okay.
Well, I've never been the biggest fan of Scarecrow. This whole Fear State story is just not really working for me. It's going on way too long, and it's just now starting to kick into the event part of it, and I'm like, oh, geez. And then the backup with Ghostmaker. I mean, I'm not loving the story, and I'm certainly not likely to remember the details of it when it concludes, what, 3 months from now in the Batman annual? That's not going to be on sale until, like, November 20th or something.
Yep, I won't remember it either.
And it's like, come on.
Yeah, not very good. I don't know what they're doing right now. It's just the decisions that are being made are not decisions I would make. Another one that was kind of weird for me was I feel like Green Lantern number 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's turning into a Teen Lantern book at this point, because it was all focused on Teen Lantern and her fighting, you know, the yellow and the fear. But I like seeing other lanterns. You know, we had the Teen Lantern book, and it was kind of so-so, and I didn't really like the character.
We never actually had a Teen Lantern book. She was just over in Young Justice.
Yeah, Young Justice with those kids.
And, yeah.
And she was okay, but I mean, I didn't hate her or anything, but I'm just like, okay, I don't want this to be the Teen Lantern book. That's what I'm worried about right now.
Well, I don't think she got a chance to really shine in that other title, and that was the title to do it in. And here, the problem I have is I'm just not loving a power ring-less Green Lantern Corps.
That's a thing. They depowered half the lanterns or most of the lanterns. I don't even know.
I think all of them.
All of them. So it's weird. And I'm just like, what? How long are we going to go with this? It was okay. We did that for a little while. But if we're a year into this and the Green Lanterns still don't have powers, I'm just looking at random people, you know? And at that point, I don't want to read that.
Yeah.
So disappointing.
I think that sums up a lot of DC.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could go through the list of the ones I really didn't like, but I stuck to the okay ones.
Did you read I Am Batman number 0?
I did not. How was that? Was it bad?
They're not really winning me over with this whole Jace Fox becoming the next Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, if they'd gone with Luke, I might be able to buy into that, but this guy, I don't know, don't like.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, and the title is I Am Batman. My response is usually, no, you're not.
Especially not while we have a Batman book going on. Come on.
Yeah. Exactly. It flies in the face of what's going on elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff that I've already canceled. Like, there's a Batman Reptilian. Checkmate. I got rid of it already. It's just still coming in. American Vampire's over. It's been put to rest, you know?
Going back to Checkmate for just a second, I think it's okay. The problem is it's playing out slowly, and it feels disconnected from the rest of the DCU. But given it was going to be released a year ago, it should be expected.
That's the thing. It's not lining up with anything that's happening right now, so it's kind of like in its own little, almost pocket universe.
It's
not back in time.
It's not lining up, but it's also not flying in the face of other stuff like some other titles are.
That is true. That is true. It for me, it's just very slow and a little bit boring.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it's doing okay for me, but I'd be much happier if they had just gone and done the original Checkmate again.
Yeah, that would probably have been better.
That was, I think, one of the best super spy things in the DC universe they've ever done.
Yeah, I got that sensational Wonder Woman through the first arc, so this was issue 6 and it's done, and it's just not that good. So I'm done with it.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of titles that are just kind of that way at DC.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate. I hate saying that because I want to feel like something good is going to happen on the horizon, you know, with Future State. I know you haven't read it yet, but I read Future State, Infinite Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
I just read Infinite Frontier number 5 because it came in the latest shipment, and it was really good because I'm like, man, we are definitely going towards a crisis, but I feel like they don't have the editors or the writers or the artists to really do a crisis level event to change everything up right now. They don't have the talent pool, I don't feel like.
I think they do with like Tom Taylor and a few others.
Yeah.
But I think that there's some definite issues with the editorial staff at DC, some of what they're letting some of the writers do. I picked up Batman Urban Legend number 6. Did you get that?
I did not. How did you? Oh, yeah, that's the one that had some controversial thing in it or something.
The fact that you started with, oh, yeah, that's the one, sums it up right there.
That's the one.
I had skipped this title originally because it's a Batman anthology thing, and I'm like, yeah, who cares? Picked this one up because, yeah, it had some notoriety. They made a definite seeming status quo change to Tim Drake. Not one I pre-ordered, but I reached out to Eric. It's like, hey, I'm curious. Can you get me? And he's like, yeah. Didn't realize at the time it was multiple stories being across multiple issues. So this was part 3 of 3-ish of the Tim Drake story. And
okay.
I say 3-ish because it was in 4, 5, and 6, and apparently continues in Urban Legends 10.
Oh, wow.
Because they need to give people time to read this and then order appropriately. And I'd heard about what they had done, and it's like, I got to read the story to see if it somehow makes sense or not. I read it. It felt forced. If you don't know what I'm talking about, congratulations on your ability to block out the news media entirely. It seemed like a massive out-of-left-field change in the character. And some of the stuff I'd read about it online, I found, frankly, offensive. NPR's article on it was, you know, it makes sense if you were paying attention.
It's oh, like, really?
Well, wait a sec. I've been reading the Tim Drake character since he started. I'm not going to say I've read every appearance. I may have missed one or two here and there, but probably only one or two here or there.
Yeah, you've read the character.
Yeah, and the writer of that NPR article seemed, because they basically have him coming out as you know, bisexual or whatever. They haven't put a label on it, though, which, okay, fine, whatever. But the writer of the NPR article seemed to think that only a queer character could be so observant as to figure out Batman and Robin's identity based on, you know, body language and stuff like that. And I'm like, having just read that story recently for a back issue spotlight, Tim had PTSD from watching Dick Grayson's parents die, which is how he and why he recognized a signature move of Dick Grayson's. He was triggered.
Yeah.
So to say, no, that's not it at all, even though that was pretty much blatantly in the story, to say, oh, no, he could only do it this way or whatever, it feels to me reductive and a little insulting to kind of everybody.
Ah.
And so many of the articles around this were actually more interesting than the story itself, which I thought was told with too many captions and, again, just out of the blue. And it took this writer, Megan Fitzmartin, from being what I felt was a fairly obscure writer of, wait, who is this? To somebody who's now been interviewed, seems like, by half the planet or whatever.
That's funny.
Definitely made her mark on the character and in a way that makes it hard to kind of backpedal her stuff. And to say it's always been there, I don't buy. I am willing to bet, although I could be wrong on this, and I have yet to actually find an article where Marv Wolfman is asked this, but I would imagine if asked, Marv Wolfman would say no, that was not something he built into the character. I also think it's also something he would not object to in the character, but again, not something that was necessarily intrinsic in the original version.
Yeah.
And I did a little bit of research, granted very little, so I could be wrong on this. Megan Fitzmartin has written for DC the two issues of Future State Robin Eternal.
Okay.
In which his relationship with Spoiler doesn't seem to have taken a bad turn because, you know, he's now dating men. She wrote the backup feature for Penguin in Detective Comics 1038. And the three serialized parts of this Tim Drake story that were across the different issues of Urban Legends 4 through 6. So, at most, 100 pages of comics, more likely well under 50, because it'd be, 20 or so each for the two Robin Eternals, maybe another 20 for the Tim Drake story, plus another, I don't know, 8 or 10 for the Penguin backup. So we're at a point where this writer has not done enough writing to, one, set this sort of stuff up, and two, to, I think, make this kind of significant shift in the character.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, because, this change in the way you described it harkens back to what was done with Iceman.
Yep.
With Bendis, where it was just out of the blue and completely contradictory to everything that has ever been written about the character and what we know of. And whereas what was happening, there was also some, you know, news out there that, oh, well, they're talking about they're going to make John gay, Superman, the new Superman, which it hasn't happened. I don't know. Maybe it will happen. Maybe it won't. But I'm like, well, at least he doesn't have a track record. He was a kid. You know, of course he could come out as gay. That doesn't offend me. But when you had a character like Iceman, who had been like this entire time, he was almost a womanizer, to now come out, it just felt abrupt and abrasive and weird, and he didn't even really come out. It was just a mind-reading thing. It was just awkward.
Well, with that one, part of the rationale was he spent time with Jean Grey when she was going shoe shopping and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Clearly, he was there for the shoes versus clearly he was there to spend time with Jean.
Yeah, it couldn't be one. It had to be the other.
And it's like, when they make significant changes to some of these characters, and I agree that there needs to be better representation of different lifestyles, different ethnicities, and stuff like that. But it would make as much sense as for one of them to you know, these characters to wake up one morning and decide, I'm deaf, or I'm Czechoslovakian, or I am, you know, a Martian or something like that. When you look for something and say, oh, I could make it explained by this, this is the missing piece. If it's missing, that means it wasn't there.
And then you're forcing it, and you're almost using a shoehorn and forcing something that's not who the character is.
And we've had other characters that represent, you know, different ethnicities and lifestyles and stuff, that it's there from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like they've taken one of, we need to recruit this to this representation style or whatever. I don't know. It's just, when they take any character and do a sharp left turn in personality, in power set, in any other thing like that, it feels forced and as if the character wasn't good enough for the writer to write as was.
Yeah.
Or the writer wasn't good enough to write the character as was. Take your pick.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's unfortunate, because based on that, unless there's a complete wiping of the slate and changing, which I don't think there will be, the character's been altered and changed for future writers, the history of the character is pretty much just going to be, let's not look at that. You know, here's how they are going forward.
Well, and when you take any character that's been around, let's see, that character came around in, I want to say, 1993-ish, so 25, 30 years, give or take. Yeah. You can find stuff to support any reading of wherever you want to go with the character.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? And I don't know. It's one of the many things, such as forcing a new Batman, switching Supermans, depowering the Green Lanterns, where there's just so many things that are happening at DC that it makes the DC universe feel very alien to me. And I've been reading it for, you know, 40 plus years.
And it all seems to be happening at the same time. And the only thing that's changed is, one, the writers and artists aren't exclusive, but the other big thing was there's a change of the leadership. They got rid of Dan DiDio. Jim Lee's still there, and they brought in another guy from video game something or the other. I can't remember who the
heck
it is.
And they've got Marie Levin or whatever as editor-in-chief now, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. But I can't remember their names.
I don't want to blame the higher-ups necessarily, although ultimately it is their fault, because a lot of what led to the New 52 was the mea culpa that DiDio and Jim Lee basically fessed up to of, they didn't really pay attention to what was going on. That's why Green Lantern was an intergalactic villain at the time, Hal Jordan, and other things where they just diverged so far from where the characters were to where they were at the time that they kind of had to do a scorched earth and restart.
Just unfortunate.
You know, if you're not paying attention to the stories you're telling today and thinking through how is this setting stuff up for the future.
So is your DC reading list getting shorter in the future?
Probably. It should.
Okay. Right now it hasn't, though.
I've been a little behind the ball getting my orders together, so some things just kind of grandfather in that maybe shouldn't.
Okay.
But if this were a true meritocracy and stuff, I would have probably dropped a number of titles like Wonder Woman and stuff a while back.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting. You know what? And I can't blame you for that because that's how I feel, too. And you just have a lot more established time and love and, you know, the general admiration of these characters than I do. And so, yeah, I understand exactly where you're coming from.
Well, if I didn't have, you know, the last 500 issues of Detective Comics and stuff like that, don't know that I'd be staying with that title either.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that I will continue moving forward. I just haven't decided.
I know exactly what you mean.
One of the many reasons I'm glad we're not doing the weekly comic spotlight, because, you know, I don't feel the need to be reading so many books to have something new to review every week.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Anything else on DC, or should we move over to Marvel?
Let's go to Marvel.
Okay. What did you read that really stood out?
Okay. I had one that I would have given almost an A-plus range, and I don't know if you got this title, Kang the Conqueror, number one.
I did get that one. I thought it had some interesting retelling of Kang's origin. It seemed like it was trying to acknowledge the character's past while potentially providing a way for him to go in a different direction.
Yes, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was excellent and a fun start. And it's a 5-issue mini, but I thought it's just they're knocking it out of the park with this title. It's just a good read. I think more people should pick this book up.
It's one that I think may fly under a lot of people's radar.
Yeah, so that was probably, if I had to pick one title, that was my favorite.
Okay.
Cool. How about you?
I would say probably Black Cat.
Black Cat was really good, too.
It did have one thing that did annoy me.
Okay.
This issue and the previous take place after Avengers Annual number 1 that
yes.
came out a week after this issue did.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of annoying, but that having been said, I've enjoyed the issue. I like where they're going with this. I just wish they could have told the story in order, because I remember last month we were talking about, well, that didn't make sense with this one character, and it turns out, well, yeah, because they hadn't told what happened before.
I got this issue, and I'm like, now it makes sense. Yeah, that was kind of funny. But it's still a really good book. I really like this one. It's usually near the top of the list when I'm reading Marvel.
I like a good heist film. I like the Marvel Universe, and this is a good blend of the two.
Yeah, and another book that had Black Cat, which I thought this issue was better than the first one, was Symbiote Spider-Man, Crossroads. Mm. I liked it. They had Black Cat in there. We had the Hulk in there. It felt like Peter David let loose a little bit with the writing, and it was more action-oriented. It just was a fun read. I liked it.
A fun read, great cover.
Yeah, excellent cover.
And, terrific. Yeah, it was one of those that it was fun. It felt a little light. Didn't expect to see what we saw at the end, but I'm like, I want to see where they go with that. And Peter David just is doing a fun job.
I agree. He's doing really good. So those little miniseries have really been working for him, both with the Hulk and with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's been doing a good job with that. You anything else you wanted to talk about? Anything you really like?
Let's see. Cable Reloaded.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
I thought that was... I mean, I enjoyed the previous Cable series, and this is fairly different, but also a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I want to see kind of where they go with that, and if it's a little bit of old home week with you know, X-Force and stuff like that along for the ride at times.
Yeah, it was kind of cool reading that. And what was weird is I think that book showed up in the checklist at the back of all the mutant books. Well, that would have Cable Reloaded, but there was another one from Guardians of the Galaxy I think showed up in the checklist of the mutant books.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Which I was surprised. That's what it was. Guardians of the Galaxy showed up, and I was like, that's just kind of bizarre. I didn't realize that. I wouldn't have expected it.
I didn't realize that. I apparently don't pay much attention to the checklists at the end, and I did not pre-order it, so...
Yeah, it was that Guardians of the Galaxy annual. That's what it was.
That makes sense. I skipped out on that one and the Miles Morales Spider-Man one. It was part of the Infinite Destiny stuff, which is what leads into the Black Cat storyline we're telling, if it actually did, because so many of those annuals didn't.
Yeah, and those two were honestly not really good. If you skipped them, you really didn't miss anything. You're better off.
Yeah, you're better
off not having read them or spent the money.
Overall, I think that Infinite Destiny annual thing was a misfire on multiple levels, and they should be ashamed of themselves for how they marketed it.
Yeah, it felt like a total flop to me. I regret reading it and buying it. So, all right.
I would say the Avengers annual that had the only character that they introduced that I liked, but I liked him before he got the Infinity Stone and not so much after.
Yeah, I agree. That the Avengers annual was the best of the entire Infinite Destinies storyline, I felt like.
Yeah, I was just really disappointed when it got to the end and it didn't end, but said, hey, it continues in Black Cat 8 on sale now. And by on sale now, they mean last month.
Yeah, you're like, da-da-da.
Come on.
Line it up, guys.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Now, I'll tell you some others that I was reading that I don't think you did, and then we can talk about maybe some we read together. Black Widow, still very good.
Cool.
It's dealing around the characters that were in the movie. So you get the sister, Natasha and her sister, and I think it was rolled out for the movie. But
oh, yeah.
It was a great team up. I still like the book. It's really good. Daredevil 33 with Chip Zdarsky has been a good run the entire thing. We get a lot of background on Bullseye in this issue, what's been going on, so it's really cool. And then Miles Morales, another one that I know you weren't reading. We get the wrap-up to the Clone Saga, so this is kind of like the after story. And this one, who knows, maybe it's a collector's issue. We got a costume change, so Miles got a new costume. Number 29, so pick it up. It's a hot one.
Of course.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was like, oh, maybe this is worth something now. Who knows?
Is this one alive and going to turn into a supervillain?
Yeah, who knows? I hope not.
Give it time. Yeah.
So anything else that you really like? Because there's a few other ones.
X-Men number 2, not as good as the first, but that was kind of a high bar. But still a great read.
I agree.
It had a nice kind of done-in-one aspect while playing into a larger story, and I liked that balance.
Yeah, I love the strategy and the power dynamics as they're being used in the fight. So it's a good fight issue, I thought. I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then Marauders 23, I thought was fun. Got some fallout from the Hellfire Gala and with the whole mutant medicine stuff. It was unusual to see Jumbo Coronation in the field or whatever, but it worked.
Yeah.
So, fun issue.
Now, I wanted to ask you, because I'm pretty sure you got it, and I don't know how it struck you, Avengers number 47, where we get the start of World War She-Hulk.
The entire issue was setting up She-Hulk to being brainwashed into the Winter Hulk, and I'm like, really?
With blonde hair.
I
was like, what is this? Why is she red? Why does she have blonde hair? Like,
if my reading list were a meritocracy, this would not have made the cut by now. Long sense.
Yeah, let's release her on the Atlanteans. You know, it's like,
I'd have dropped this after the third or fourth Supernatural arc, if not sooner.
Yeah, Avengers with Aaron has just not been good the entire run.
No.
It's been really kind of disappointing, so... I think Jason Aaron does his best work when he's writing a single character. You get into teams, and I have not liked anything he's done team-wise, just personally. Whether it's the X-Men stuff, even though he did the he did some X-Men books, he did some other stuff, but it doesn't work for me.
For me, it's less the matter of team versus solo character so much as this. The feel of this book does not have the feel of the Avengers.
It really doesn't.
You know, having them out in the Arctic in this celestial, you know, husk or whatever, versus at the mansion and stuff like that. They're not being heroes fighting the good fight. They're having grudge match after grudge match with, you know, the vampires or whomever. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, the Russians, the vampires, this, the that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of gets old a little bit. Yeah. But there was a lot of ones that were just kind of like so-so, you know, like Amazing Spider-Man. I think I'm just ready for Nick Spencer to go. Conan was okay.
I had no idea what was going on with Amazing Spider-Man.
I don't either. It's just weird. I read it and I went through the motions and I didn't even put any notes because it didn't even stick with me.
My notes were, I have no idea what's going on with this other than a new creative team is coming soon. Good with that.
I'm waiting for issue 75. Please come.
Yeah. It's funny because there have been a few other issues lately that have worked for me and then some that just, bam, totally don't. It's very uneven.
Very uneven and just not good. Yeah. And the same thing with Sinister War. I'm not enjoying that. It feels like they just took more of his story and crammed it into these specials, so it's back and forth.
Oh, God. In Sinister War number 2, I lost count of how many times the story shifted to earlier. It got annoying pretty quickly. And the story was rather crowded, and it's like, that's just not a good combination. And I like the third issue even less.
Yeah, and you have just a huge amount of characters in there, and they keep jumping with the time, and you're like, what is going on?
Well, in the third issue, it seemed like Spidey was just running from one Sinister Six to another, getting his butt kicked.
Yep.
And I'm like, this story isn't working for me. I don't see the motive for any of these characters. I don't. Not even totally sure who's in which team, and I don't know.
Well, there was a big title that came out. By the way, I really like Thor 2. You're not reading that, but very good still.
Not surprised you say that.
It's a Jane Foster one, so I really like it.
Oh, okay.
You got some Jane Foster in there.
Cool.
X-Men, Trial of Magneto. Did you read that?
I did.
Because my whole question is, why are we having a trial for something that should not be a problem? Did you think that too?
Why do you think it shouldn't be a problem?
Well, because of the character, okay, with the murder that's happened.
Yep.
I know the reason why, and I know, but technically it can be undone.
Well, the murder was of a human.
Not of Scarlet?
Scarlet Witch is human.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sitting here thinking she's a mutant. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yes, because she was up until she wasn't.
Now she's a human?
She's been a human since Uncanny Avengers number 4.
Son of a gun.
Now, I want the listeners to let that sink in for a moment. Wow, he knew that. Now that it's sunk in and you're impressed, I'll fess up. I did have to do some research on that.
Because I was thinking, why do we care? Why is this a big deal? Oh, my gosh.
She fooled them long enough that they could restore her using the resurrection protocols. I'm unhappy with this because I think the killing off of her was done kind of off-screen and poorly. This was to give us the false sense that it's Magneto who did it, although, I mean, it probably isn't. I mean, why would he? And there were so many, okay, let's use the mutant powers as magic, as far as writing goes, to explain things away and whatnot. And this goes back to, generally, Marvel's continuity is not too bad. It's pretty tight.
Yeah.
But then you hit characters like the Scarlet Witch, whose powers have been redefined time after time after time.
Yep.
And then one writer decided, you know what? She's not going to be a mutant anymore.
And honestly, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. Because she's a hallmark character, her and Quicksilver of the X-Men.
I know. I'm like, what? She's not a mutant? What are you talking about?
There's
I'm like,
not
oh, yeah.
much criteria to becoming an X-Men other than thou must be a mutant.
Yeah. Oh, that's so ridiculous. All right. All right. Now I hate the book even more.
It was okay. It's just I think the setup for it was really poorly done.
I do too.
It just kind of happened almost behind the scenes. Well, not even behind the scenes. It was tacked on to the end of whichever book that was, X Factor.
And me, like a dope, I'm reading it the whole time. Well, why is X-Factor investigating this? Why don't they just go to Charles and say, hey, boot her up. You know, give me a new copy and an egg or something.
Their whole job is to investigate before they reboot somebody.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, so frustrating. All right, cool. But other than that, it was okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's. Did you read – you're not reading United States of Captain America, are you?
I got the first issue, and I think I got that as a teaser or test issue, and then I didn't order the others with Eric, so no. How was it?
The third issue actually had a quote-unquote Cap that could be fun to see more of. He's the first that didn't seem like just like a cosplayer Captain America.
Ah.
But one that could potentially be a hero in his own right if we ever see the character again.
Ah, so we may or may not, of course, like all these other characters, but, cool.
Yeah, this is a series where you throw five characters out and see if any stick.
And that one will probably be the most likely to stick out of the bunch.
I certainly hope so, because the other two to pick from, like the one in the first issue with the hobo Cap or whatever, just didn't work for me.
Me neither. Hobo Cap. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And awesome, I mean that as a joke. Mm-hmm. But overall, you know, like, I feel like there was a few more good books here, but there's a lot of average, and some of them that I've already canceled, I'm just getting rid of, like, those annuals I wish I would have never gotten. Aliens, yeah. I canceled. I'm like, okay, I'm done with the Aliens book. It is what it is. I'm done. Immortal Hulk number 49, it was a full-page pictures with prose.
Oh, wow. That would have annoyed me just on principle.
Yeah, and like that Catwoman and Batman thing that Tom King did. So there's two issues of Immortal Hulk that I thought were horrible, issue number 25 and issue number 49. Everything before and after those, we haven't gotten 50 yet, was great. But, I mean, that was kind of disappointing that here we are near, like, the magnum opus, you know, one issue away, mm-hmm. and I basically get prose with one picture per page. I'm like, okay, this was horrible.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, so... That was the only one that I'm still getting that I didn't like. The other ones I'm all kind of axing or waiting for them to die off.
Now, there's one title that if I had it to do over, I would probably skip.
Which one?
I'm curious what your feeling on this title is, because you've got a different background going into it. Gamma Flight.
Gamma Flight, okay.
It's just leaning so heavily on the Immortal Hulk run that I didn't read. It's an okay story. I just feel like I've constantly missed parts of it, and I just don't have the context.
It did. It leaned heavily into the Immortal Hulk, but also the story was not that great, I felt like. I felt like they wrote it poorly, because the first issue I liked, the second issue I was like, it's okay, and this third issue, I really didn't care for it.
Okay.
Yeah, so
it's not working for me because I hadn't read it, but even you having read and really enjoyed Immortal Hulk, you're like, yeah, this isn't cutting it.
It's not cutting it for me either. So
I feel better.
I'm on board for the last two issues because I pre-ordered them, and then, yeah, that was...
So am I, but if I had it to do over again...
You wouldn't do it. Along with those annuals, we would have skipped it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Could have saved some money.
One thing I was going to ask you, I hate to go back to DC, but did you get a Green Lantern annual?
I got that this week in my latest shipment.
Okay, I think I didn't order it, but what was funny is they were talking about... I was reading the Green Lantern. They're like, see Green Lantern Annual. There's a big change. And I was like, I don't even think I ordered it. Maybe I skipped it by accident.
The comic that had the See the Green Lantern Annual to explain this.
Yeah.
I forget if it was Infinite Frontier 4 or where that was. But having just now gotten that annual, haven't read it yet because it's part of the September stuff. Yeah, again, get your trains in order, guys.
Yeah, ADD mind. I'm like, man, did I order this? Did I not order this? I'm like, what is going on? I missed something important.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry about that. But
no, it's okay.
Yeah, that pretty much does it for Marvel for me, though. I mean, that was the good and the bad, pretty much.
Yeah. Shall we move on to the other publishers?
Yeah, let me go and pull those up. All right, got those.
I had a couple I highlighted as good, a lot that it's, yeah, they're all right. None that I highlighted as, oh, wow, this was a stinker.
Oh, I have some stinkers, and I'm like, some of them I question.
How bad?
Getting this? Yeah. You want me to tell you how the ones that I'm getting rid of?
Sure.
Okay, Black Hammer 7, it's the last issue. Horrible. There's a story called Compass, which was a 5-issue mini. This is issue 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing it to the end. Jupiter's Legacy Requiem. not good, but it's only five issues.
I'm reading that one, but I just am still missing the overall context of the series because of how long it's been coming out. I mean,
it's just not sinking in. I can't remember, and I'm like, and at this point, I don't care.
Well, and we're at 3 of 12, so yeah.
Yeah. Ordinary Gods, I feel like I'm going to drop that. Another one which was surprising. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, on Ordinary Gods, I think it's decent, very middle chaptery, and I picked it up on the strength of the writer. who did Kyle Higgins, who did Power Rangers and stuff.
Yeah.
I've picked up a few other things based on that, and that's starting to be a criteria I'm not going to be using maybe going forward.
Yeah.
Because his Dark Hawk was okay. His stuff here is all right. But I really think he was firing on all cylinders on the Shattered Grid stuff for Power Rangers.
No, I know what you mean. I mean, not with the Power Rangers, but he's written some good stuff, and I feel like this one's not one of them.
Yeah.
A surprising one that I am still getting, and I just really don't like it, is Oblivion Song. And it's not because it's, what's his name? Who's
Robert
the writer
Kirkman.
Walking Dead? Robert Kirkman.
You know, that little known title, Walking Dead, it's obscure. Yeah. Nobody knows.
Who is this guy?
It's only going for 11 seasons on AMC, that's all.
Yeah, that guy. So I've been reading it, and I'm still getting it. We're up to issue 33. But they keep on saying in the back, you know, we only have like 3 issues left. We only have 2. So I'm seeing it to the end, but it's just the whole time, it just really hasn't been good. It's been horrible. I wish he wouldn't have written it, and I wish I wouldn't have bought it.
I got the first, I don't know, maybe 6 issues, and it was all right. I just didn't need to stay with it, so I didn't.
It got progressively worse for me. And then, believe it or not, I still get Vampirella, and I don't know why, because Christopher Priest has just been doing a horrible job on it. It's just out of habit. And so, and I got the last issue of that Skybound X, which I'm not getting that anymore, so that's canceled, so eh.
Yeah, yeah.
Those were kind of like the bad ones. But what good things did you get? And then I'll tell you a few good ones I got.
Let's see. Not All Robots I enjoyed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I really loved Not All Robots. I would have given that like an A+, somewhere in there. That was really good stuff. I thought he took it a little bit too much on the nose with writing that piece at the end, because I think some people would have enjoyed it if they wouldn't have read that piece, because then they said, aha, you know, an aha moment.
Yeah. But
I think the story itself and the art itself, fantastic.
It was a fun read. It's the sort of social commentary I expect from Mark Russell.
Yeah.
And there's some people that works great for. There's some people that really don't like that. Matter of fact, I think a couple of people on the forum said they really didn't like it. And hey, if it's not for you, don't read it. I got no problem with that. But for me, it was fun. I'm not going to say it was, oh my God, brilliant, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah. I really liked it. It reminds me of Flintstones, you know, the stuff that he does in there.
Yeah.
Because I could see, you know, as I was reading it, I was thinking some stuff in there, you know, about the robots going out to do the work, coming home, and just annoyed by the people who are there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, man, this feels like the 1950s. What you picture with the husband going out to work and coming home, and the wife's like dolting over him, and he's like, ah, leave me alone, thinking that in his mind, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It was just hilarious reading that, so.
Another one I really enjoyed was Fight Girls.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I really love Fight Girls.
Fun story, good action. And there's a fun kind of investigation subplot going on that I hadn't expected. And I'm like, okay, I want to see where that goes.
Yeah, the nice little twist at the end with the investigation. Love it, love it.
Maul's number 3. Interesting story. Atypical sort of superhero power type thing or superpower type thing. But that's kind of what I expect from JMS.
Yep.
At some point, we need to maybe do Rising Stars.
Oh, what's Rising Stars?
Other superhero title he did for Top Cow, I think it was.
Was it really good?
Parts of it, yeah. Other parts, it's been long enough that I don't remember. But he had a couple of things here and there that it's like, yeah, he's taking, you know, X people get superpowers, you know, I forget how many, and here's what happens to them. The fame, the fortune, the downfall sort of things.
Hey, I'm on board to read it.
So, yeah, we'd have to figure out small enough chunks to break it up into, though, because it was, I think, I want to say 24 issues for the whole thing, so we're definitely not doing that as one shot thing.
Oh, one thing I picked up, because it was only shouted out on the preview spotlight about 10 times, was Heroes Union number 1.
What did you think of that?
I really liked it. Did you like it?
I thought there was just a ton of story in this issue in a good way.
Really?
It's what I expect out of the binge books. You get, for $4.99, it feels like you get a full trade's worth of story, but it's only, I put in quotes, you know, 68 pages on this one?
68 pages, $4.99, which you compare that to what you're getting at DC, and this is much more enjoyable.
Well, and again, you got, I felt, twice the story content you'd get out of, you know, that many pages out of a DC or Marvel book.
Yeah, you get Roger Stern, Ron Frentz, Sal Buscema. I mean, so it's like top-notch.
Classic creators, all age-appropriate material, yet not kiddified. And, I don't know, it's got a bit of a Silver Age, Bronze Age feel to it in a good way. This is the kind of tone and style of comic that I think you could really get a younger reader hooked on comics. And it would stay with them for, I mean, there's no point at which, oh, I'm too old for that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and it was so weird because I felt like I'm reading a Silver Age book, but I know the characters because we were there for the origin. So when you're looking at some of the characters in the book, I'm like, I'm trying to remember the girl's name in the pink, the one who's the speedster.
Startup.
Startup. I'm like, John and I reviewed that, and we read the whole series, and I loved it. But seeing the origins of the character, and now we're following it through to the 68-page thing, I'm like, love it. It's so good. It's fun to read. I'm part of the universe. So the more stuff that they kick out, the more stuff I'll buy.
The only thing I didn't overly love about it was the square binding.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not I kind of prefer comics that, you know, can lay flat, but that's a nitpick.
Yeah, it's true. I can't use my lap reader. I kind of hold it in my hands, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it was fun stuff. And if they had that kind of bang for the buck in terms of the amount of story and stuff like that at Marvel and DC, they'd be doing just so much better.
I agree.
I mean, how many of these things have I talked about? It's too middle chapter, it's too slow, etc.
So many of them.
Yeah.
It feels like the whole DC universe is middle chapter right now. And sometimes the experts, because they're building up towards something, towards Fear State, so everything's on pause right now. It's like, ugh.
I think what's worse is when I say what I like about a story is that it's the end chapter of a story I've been disliking. I think I've said that a few times this evening.
Yeah, it was the last thing. It was great.
It finally ended. Yeah, yeah, it's sad.
That's never a good thing. Hey, what did you think of Firepower? I know you've been reading that.
Firepower. It was a fine issue. Again, kind of middle chapter-ish, though.
Yeah, it was middle chapter-ish. I think I liked Firepower 15, I think I already got. No, I can't remember.
This was 14. If you've gotten 15.
No, in my next shipment, I think I already read that. So I'm like reading these notes. I'm like, I already read the next one. So it's like, oh gosh. Anyways, yeah. But the next one's in your shipment that you haven't opened
yet. Yeah, I've got it. I just haven't read it. Yeah.
Okay, other things I'll tell you that are really good, which I think you probably didn't get. Gung-Ho Anger, which is the fourth issue. The whole Gung-Ho series, it's a Euro comic that's being translated really good. There's a book that's being solicited right now, some hardcovers. I think you can pick them up from Eric over at Cowabunga. They also had Geiger number 5, which is the creative team of
Jeff Johns and
Gary Frank.
Yeah.
So it's an excellent issue. So there's these kids that are being saved by Geiger, who has these batons, but the batons are actually like the rods that they use in nuclear reactors, like the control rods. So it's kind of cool. That's like the whole shtick behind it. But, you know, you start seeing the kid gets powers in here, and it's really some cool stuff. They find safety, but there may not be what you're expecting there with what happens. Some twists and turns. I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't read it, but it's been a solid read. It hasn't always been my favorite, but I felt like issue 5 was really good.
Cool.
And then Department of Truth was solid. This wasn't my favorite issue again, number 12, but a nice twist at the end, yikes type thing. A lot of exposition dump. And then Barbaric ended with issue number 3. It's from Vault. And it's kind of like a Conan, but funny, with an axe that talks. So they did 3 issues, and they're coming out with a hardcover, but then they're going to come out with a new series. But each issue was about 40 pages. So it was a lot bigger issues. But I thought that was a really solid one. And then other ones I liked were Stillwater, which I don't think you're reading from Image. It's really good. It's a town where people kind of live forever, and there's developing and brewing a fight between the kids of the community with the adults of the community. And then The Unbelievable Unteens, which was part of that Black Hammer universe, came out. And this one I think a lot of comic creators will love because it starts off with they show a comic creator at a con going through the grind and, you know, just the work and dedication, pure exhaustion that comes on from it. But she gets a surprise with some of her creations in the book. I'll just leave it there.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of a cool twist on the whole Black Hammer universe.
I read a few of the early stuff of Black Hammer. It just didn't click with me, so I didn't stay with it. I know there's some other people that love it, though.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's solid. There's been some of the ones that I've really liked, and some of them like, eh, it's okay. So it depends on the miniseries that I'm reading.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Did you get that Echolands?
I did not.
Okay, Echolands was like, they came out with it, and they said, you know, it's going to be a great book, and I think it was J.H. Williams was doing it. And it kind of had this fables feel, but they did the most annoying thing. They took the comic book and they stapled it on the short side.
Oh.
So you have to flip it up to read it. And it was so annoying.
They didn't even, like, rotate the story 90 degrees for that and do widescreen?
Oh, I'm sorry. They did. They did. They rotate it 90 degrees, so you're reading it like a really big, like almost like that Rubicon book from, I can't remember the name. Anyways, okay.
Anomaly
Rubicon, yes.
Okay.
I'm glad I could just say a word and you fill in the blanks in my mind.
Not always easy, but I try.
All right, so you're reading this long book, but what happens is the story, he kind of did it, and it's beautiful art, in the middle of the page. And so the top and bottom are like this artistic stuff, but it just really didn't work. It threw me out of my element. I felt like there's a ton of wasted space. Amazing art, did not care for the story at all, and I don't think I'm going to stay on it.
Mm.
So unfortunate, but it was beautiful art. It was just, it felt like all style, no substance.
Ah, oh, that's a shame.
Yeah,
at least it had the style, but substance helps.
Yeah, yeah, style was great.
See, what else did I read that was good? Still enjoying Seven Swords. They got all the Seven Swords people together, finally.
Awesome.
A fair amount of characterization, a lot of story content. It's fun and surprisingly accessible, given how I don't know a lot of these, you know, swords people of literature and stuff, but enjoying it.
Awesome.
Are you still... Did you read Lazarus?
Lazarus, yes. Lazarus Risen number 6 it was, right?
Yeah.
It was a very slow issue, that I felt like, this one.
It was, and it's interesting because the length of time between issues isn't helping me maintain the story momentum. But longer installments like we're getting does help on that?
It does. I was just surprised how little they progress. He progressed the story in this quarterly installment.
Yeah.
It's still solid, and I still love the series. But I was just like, I was like, okay, if we're only going to get quarterly, we need to make a little bit more happen in it. That was just my
mind. Well, the problem is we at least need to get it quarterly.
Yeah. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a while, yeah.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if it was a year ago that we got the last issue.
I think it might have been like 10 months. I don't know.
Yeah, but almost a year.
Close enough. Yeah, yeah.
At that point, it's like a little bit frustrating, or I'm like, okay, maybe I should just pick up the collection at that point, because my mind just can't pick up. I couldn't remember what happened last time. I remember the war was going on, so now we're working towards peace, but I'm like, it's just... Stuff has happened in here 3 years ago now at this point.
Yeah, it's hard, but at least with the length of the installment, I've got time to get into it and remember that stuff before I'm done with it.
Yes, yeah.
Whereas 20-page story, by the time I've remembered where we left off, this one's left off.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten.
If he actually did this book quarterly, I'm completely on board for this type of thing. Where yeah. They do, I don't know how many pages it is. Let's say it's 60 pages. And once a quarter, or even if it's 50 pages, you give me a lot of material, you make it worthwhile, I love it. And what's kind of cool is I do like the stuff that he puts at the end where he's talking about what he's reading, he gives mm-hmm. you some background on the characters. He has a whole stinking role-playing game on this universe, which is just insane.
Greg Rucka is the type to really think through a story universe.
Yeah, he is.
Things don't just randomly happen in his world. There's a rhyme and a reason, and I respect that.
Me too. He's definitely a very intelligent man.
Yeah.
He lays out his game plan. He organizes like crazy, and he delivers. And I just love it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I wish it came out more often.
Me too. I just wish, yeah. This is the type of thing where you almost feel like you can't get enough of it if it's coming out regularly.
Yeah, yeah. I can understand the challenges and stuff, but yeah, be nice
but
to
yeah,
more.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of the other stuff I read was just solid. Nothing, though, that's just, oh my god, it was amazing. And nothing that was really kind of substandard.
That's good. You've whittled it down to just getting what you really like.
Pretty much. I mean, it'll change from month to month, depending what other titles come out each month and stuff. But yeah, I'm trying to tune what I'm reading a little bit tighter than I had been before.
Yeah, I need to do the same thing. I'm down to where I'm getting about 90 issues a month. But I think really where I would be happiest is maybe around 80 to 75.
Yeah, and again, I am at, you know, the 70, 75-ish. But I may tighten it a little bit more depending where some stuff goes over at a few of these publishers.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
And part of it is some of these are miniseries that are just going to end if I just be a little more thoughtful as to what replaces them, if anything. That kind of takes care of the problem.
Yeah, basically what I'm hoping is I'm hoping we get good material. I don't think the Substack thing is going to play out the way everyone thinks it's going to play out. All the big writers are still, they're announcing their new Marvel projects already, which is kind of funny.
They're not going exclusive for the most part, if anybody, I don't think is.
The only one who is Tynion. He's the only one.
He's not.
Oh, he's not. What is he doing now?
He's just not doing Batman anymore.
Oh,
he's
so he
still
didn't really
got
do it.
His other books at DC and in other places.
So it's just a big to-do about nothing, really, is what I felt.
Well, I've been reading Tynion's emails as they come out, and what caught my attention in one of them was the get on board now so you don't miss any parts of the story, implying you could miss parts of the story if you don't get on now, if not flat out stating that, actually, which is what he did. He flat out stated that. So that makes me think there's no back issue equivalent for Substack, which means if you don't get on board at the get-go, you can't really catch up later necessarily until it comes in print or something like that. I don't get this whole Substack approach, and having seen other, which I felt were very viable web comic approaches, such as Panel Syndicate, not really, you know, go on fire or whatever, I think people who are going to read Substack are going to read Substack. People who are going to read comics are going to read comics. Of course, there's going to be a little bit of overlap between the two, but I don't think it's like going to crater the comic market or, you know, cause the Substack thing to just light on fire and become, you know, the new mainstream way to get comic books.
Yeah, truth be told, you know, if it's like that where you can't get caught up, that's going to limit me from ever getting on board, because I'm the type of guy where I'm like, I don't want to pay you $8 a month to get your newsletter. I really don't. And so maybe I'll jump on board after a few months and I'll read what you have out there. But if I can't read the stuff that you did previously, I'll never get on board. Forget it. I'm never going to do it.
Well, you've got to have the material. The material has to get, you know, some notoriety, and people have got to say, oh, you've got to go get it. And then I need to be able to go get it.
Yeah, I can't say, oh, you missed the window, so yeah, womp womp.
The Urban Legends thing. If I had gone to Eric and said I'd like it, and he's like, well, you know, you missed the boat. If, you know, you didn't get it kind of a thing. If it was that kind of a model for comics, that would cut down my reading substantially over time.
Yeah, it really would. So, yeah, well, I don't see that hurting the industry in the slightest. When I say the industry, the comics industry, and I don't see it hurting the direct market. I just see it was a big noisemaker. They got paid to do some publicity for Substack.
Hey, good for them. They're getting good some
for
money.
Them.
They've got another outlet. I think that's awesome. I don't think it's this colossal game changer.
I agree.
I could be wrong about that, too. We'll find out over time.
Fingers crossed. Let me know if you're going to be paying for it, what you get to see.
I'm not going to pay for it. I'm not saying it couldn't be a game changer.
Yeah, I'm not paying for it. Forget it.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, that does it for me.
Cool. The October previews came out on September 29th, and the deadline for preview spotlight number 167 is the morning of Saturday, October 9th. Recording clips for the preview spotlight episodes is easy, and we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Please send in clips to support the comics you love as often as you can. If you'd like to get email reminders for the preview spotlight episodes, you can join the emailing list on the main page of the comicbookpage.com website.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.